Just real quickly, good evening. The criteria that we currently have, when I first got here, one of the things that we wanted to do was just to update the language, make it more user-friendly, a flow of the information that sort of had some relationship to the application itself, so filling it out would make more sense. And also, as we've gone through and trying to make sure that the language reflects the town's plans and goals and values, and I think you'll see some of that in the language that we're recommending, and also taking into account the Clinton economy and also some of our more recent history or experience with loans. So we've added language and things that we've learned more recently. So those are broadly the changes. Probably the most specific change is the increase from $10,000 per job loan to job ratio to $25,000, and that's consistent with the state's guidelines. So I think I feel good about that. The ESC has reviewed this. Again, we've been talking about it for about 6 months now, and they recommended to adopt the changes. The one thing that I want to point out real quickly is that you all have an email in front of you, some comments that we got from the chamber this afternoon, and some recommendations, and I think that it's a good point in a particular section. I don't have the section in front of me. We talk about emergency funds for capital needs, and I think fully the intent of the ESC was capital as in terms of cash to do operations or buy goods. So, but their recommendation, and I think you'll see it in the memo in front of you, and I have it here, is to change the language to say capital and operating, just so that there's no confusion between, you know, what you could do with emergency funds. So you have that in front of you, and also Kristen Smith is here this evening with the chamber, and asked me to ask the mayor if she could make a comment. But that's the information you have in front of you this evening, and I'll be happy to answer questions.
Where in the document are the emergency funds specified?
It's criteria, it's toward the end, number
15.
Yeah, 15. We talk about micro loans be made available, and the whole intent there really came out of Weaver Street, and when there was, you know, question about if we could provide some kind of small loans, mm-hmm. and we would have had to go through some kind of amendment like this to make that happen. So if something like that comes up again in the future, we've got some mechanism for making that happen. In number 15, it would say emergency, capital, and operational needs.
And you believe that that's what ESC meant in the discussion, because that's not what I got from the discussion.
It is what I, because I, okay. It's what I meant when I wrote it. Capital as in cash. If there was emergency cash needs.
Well, but I think the operating.
Hold on.
If it's about this, let me finish this.
Go ahead. We're just trying to clarify.
Well, you know, my sense was at ESC that it did not include the operating.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I mean, very clearly, folks were concerned that was not going to be something that could be. We could really, you know, have enough detail on.
Well, I think that in a typical loan, operational costs are not something that the ESC wants to cover with mm-hmm. a regular loan. But I'll just put out there to you that in the case of and I hate to use Weaver Street as an example, but a Weaver Street, I mean, clearly there was loss of sales, and cash infusion is what she needed. And it would have been, and I'm talking about the Red Hen, there was sort of a discussion about that, cash. It would have been operational. It would have been so she could pay her light bill and pay her rent and those kind of things. So,
Red Hen was discussed at ESC?
As a possibility of...
So you're discussing
right. There was,
okay.
You know, the idea of a small loan to those folks was floated as a way to help through those times.
But they never approached us. I mean, you know.
And they left town, like,
right.
2 months later.
Right.
Well, they never approached y'all.
Right. But there were discussions. So, capital, when I wrote it, capital was cash infusion in my head.
Would anything prevent, a business to come and ask, you know, similarly, the way the folks, you know, along Weaver Street with the sewer come and ask separately. I mean, you know, does it have to say that operating expenses for businesses to come and ask? I mean, I'd rather leave that, you know.
If I could jump in on that question, I mean, I guess the
request.
And I don't have a strong opinion about this, but it seems to me the problem is that if the point is to address emergency type situations, to say, well, you could come to the Board of Aldermen and request a change to the policies so that you could get the loan, is like, it kind of misses the emergency nature of the situation. But if you see what I'm saying, like, I mean, in other words, by writing it in here in advance, you kind of shorten the process for a person in that position.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I kind of have some reservations about the notion of saying operating cash, unless they're going to be able to somehow point to a way that, you know, I mean, in other words,
right.
We don't want it to be good money after bad.
That's exactly right.
I don't know whether there would be a way to kind of make it. I'd like to hear from the folks from the Chamber of Commerce, too, before we come to a conclusion about this, but a way to write some language in there that would say operating cash when there's a, under circumstances where there's sort of a good explanation for why some short-term cash will actually solve the problem, as opposed to kind of delaying the problem into the future. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, if we were going to do that, I'd want to be able to bring that back to the ESC, quite frankly, because I think you're really talking about creating a floater of some kind. And
well, we could do the one thing tonight and refer the other question back to the ESC. I'll just point that out. Was there somebody else? Sammy, and then let's hear from
I was just wondering about the. I noticed that in the previous loan there was a requirement of an actual need because banks were not supporting the proposed business. And in this economic environment, I can only imagine that being worse. And so I don't see why it would hurt to keep that as a requirement. There's just a bigger pool of people who, and businesses that are going to be turned down. If there's a business that is strong enough that it does get supported by a bank, then I think we should encourage that to be a priority. So I would be curious to hear what the reasoning was from the commission or from Annette, and for us to consider keeping that if it's recognized that it's probably worse of a situation now that it may make sense to prioritize this for businesses that are really in need.
I feel like I have a good answer to that question,
sure.
But let me recognize.
Let's finish this.
Well,
something different.
You know, I've for a long time had a reservation about the language that's in there right now, because it's almost as if it's saying basically that in order to get this loan, you have to be turned down for another loan.
Mm-hmm. That's how it was.
Right.
Well, you know, anytime you're turned down for a loan, it has a negative effect on your credit rating. You know, I mean, in other words,
it
essentially
up.
Requires that you apply for a loan that you almost know that you're not going to get and injure your own credit rating and be formally declined in order to apply for a loan from this, which I understand why what the concept there is, but it just seems like it doesn't work very well in practice. And the other thing I'll say is that, you know, most people who borrow from this fund end up paying, you know, something like 3-4% versus they might pay 5-6% from a private lender. And while saving 2% by borrowing from the town sounds like an attractive option, in my experience, the reality is that this process takes longer. It does, because we have tougher underwriting standards because we need to than a private lender does. And that when money is available from the bank from 5% or money is available a good bit slower at 3% from the town, that the answer is you want to go ahead and take it from the bank at 5%. So I think it's kind of an unnecessary step in the process, because you're asking people to injure themselves for their credit record, and realistically, people don't bother to go through all of the hoops that we go through when a private market lender is available for only a few points more. That's
my So what do we do?
Can we hear from the chamber, and then I think Lydia's next.
All of you should have received this email, but I want to underscore the point and read our statement. Appreciate your time, and thank you to Annette. Mr. Mayor and members of the Board of Aldermen, thank you for hearing tonight's recommendations to modify and update the application guidelines for Carbo's Business Revolving Loan Fund. We support Carbo's effort to provide startup capital for small enterprises, and your fund is a model for our community and our state. We encourage you to adopt these changes with one minor modification. In Attachment B1, Item 15, we would like you to consider modifying the bullet reading Emergency Capital Needs to read Emergency Capital and Operating Needs. Such a loan to support operating needs could be used to support an organization who had emergency cash flow needs due to a circumstance such as natural disaster, road closure, or sewer line failure. The Chamber remains a committed partner with the Town of Carbo in pursuing your joint goals to double commercial square footage in the downtown from that existing in the year 2000, as stated in Carbo Vision 2020, and also to support sustainable business enterprises that are environmentally and socially responsible, as stated in the proposed criteria revolving loan fund. I appreciate your consideration and happy to answer any questions. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks,
Mr. All right, is there, somebody have a motion? Oh, wait, no, Lydia is next.
I just had it.
And then does anybody have a motion, if Lydia doesn't make one?
Okay. Folks, one thing I wanted us to consider adding to this criteria, you know, one of our criteria on here is an agreement to comply with Title I requirements, blah, 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 federal labor wage acts. I'd like for us also to include some type of requirement that businesses that we loan our money to include as part of their company policy a non-discrimination clauses against LGBT folks.
Here, here.
And the reason, again, is just as we're looking into having such a requirement for entities that we grant monies to during our, you know, grant process, we're getting ready to go through, I'd like for us to include it as to companies that we loan money to as well, mm-hmm. because currently on the federal level, on the state level, there is no protection at all for LGBT folks. There's only what we can do at the local level. And so I'd like to see if we can include that as one of the current guidelines, or as one of the proposed guidelines.
Do you have something written? Or you could quickly? You can do it?
I could quickly do it. Or okay. I think that
I think we have language to cover it. That's pretty much standard.
We can pull the language out of our standard contract language and just make it a requirement of the revolving loan agreement.
All right.
Great. Thanks, Matt.
Sammy.
Just 2 points. In response to Mark, still in question, not because I'm taking a position, but I understand the argument. You know, that's a negative mark on your record. We want to discourage that, too. There may be a way in which if it's an easy mechanism, whatever is reported to the banks could be reported to us. Maybe that's too much burden on staff. But if it's above the threshold, then to encourage them to approach banks. And also, you know, banks probably have higher loans now. So, you know, if the climate for getting out a loan is of a higher percentage, then of course, like, invite them to get a loan from our revolving loan fund. We don't want them to, you know, be paying the banks either. So that may be something to consider, to make it so that businesses that can, because there's a limited pool that we have and we want to maximize it for those who are most need, that may be a way to do it. The other question I had was, you know, as a town, we have a policy and to encourage locally owned businesses as much as possible, and it's surprising to me to not see anything in here that speaks to that, except for, you know, having obviously that the business be located within town limits, but there's nothing speaking to encouraging locally owned businesses. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage us to consider adding something to that mm-hmm. effect.
Mr. Attorney, do you have any thoughts about that?
It doesn't immediately send off alarm bells, if that's what you're asking me.
That's what I'm asking you.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Only other than to what, I mean, what extent is locally owned, does that mean they can live in Chapel Hill, Orange County? I mean, because we have business owners who live in Chapel Hill.
Yeah,
so.
I agree. It would be, you know, it's a...
Well, we could have it as a kind of stated consideration without being a kind of
hard
and fast.
Right.
But there could be a hard and fast if it's beyond North Carolina. You know, that's a very clear hard and fast one.
But what if somebody wants to come here and open a business? It's very cool.
Right. The point is
there's
a philosophy for why we encourage and prioritize locally owned over really cool businesses. Like,
saying like a local.
Well, you know, I just to give you one example. So, I mean, the person who is the, I think, single largest shareholder in Fleet Feet, for example, bought the company, whatever, X years ago, mm-hmm. like 5 years ago or something, bought the company. And prior to that time, I believe he lived somewhere in California. But he bought the company and moved here to where it was headquartered.
Right.
And I'm not sure whether he's a resident of the town of Carrboro or whether he lives in Orange County. But anyway, he lives within within like 2.5 miles of where we're sitting right now. Right. You know,
I think that's local.
Is that local or is that not local?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Why don't we not discuss that tonight and state it in a way so that when a loan application comes in, that someone, one of us thinks is local and one doesn't, then we can figure it out.
That's what I was saying. You know, I mean, I think that should be a criterion that we would consider, but it's maybe a little difficult, especially on the fly tonight, to decide on some hard and fast rules about that. But there again, I mean, if what we're going to do is refer the question of operating capital back to the commission, you know, this could also be an issue that we refer back to the commission for some further advice about, you know, how do we address this?
The ESC always looks at how local, you know, the applicant is.
Right. It wouldn't hurt to include that as a criteria and a guideline.
I think it's understood.
Right, but not everybody was born here, Mike. Yeah, right. I wasn't born here.
But it is understood on the commission.
Believe it, right. Believe it or not, Jackie was not actually born.
I would have been if I could have, but I wasn't. Yeah.
If she'd had me say so, she would.
So, and the other thing is just, you know, I know the board has the sentiment, but just it doesn't hurt. And when talking about attracting sustainable business enterprises that are environmentally and socially responsible, it wouldn't hurt to include projects that serve the underserved, disadvantaged populations, or that are mission-driven and fulfill a social and/or environmental need, are encouraged. Just to be consistent.
Sure. All right. So, is there somebody have a specific motion?
I move we refer this back to ESC to consider the 2 points and plus the additional language that Sammy has just proposed.
I second.
And then it come back to us. And including that, I guess one of the 2 points was the local ownership. Okay.
And mine too.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Lydia's point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that was seconded by Randy. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Matter passes unanimously.
I think she left. Did Alia leave for good, or did they just go out for a little bit? Did
they looked like they were leaving.
Did they have to go?
Did Krista and Alia leave for good?
Why don't we find out during our 3-minute break?
We're gonna recess for 3 minutes.